the Holy Spirit. And we've been on this for a few weeks now. I really don't know how long we're going to continue on it, but I also had intentions to do an activation at the end of the service today, but I don't think I'm going to do it because of the shortness of time. Thank you all very much. I have a lot to cover, and so if I was going to do the activation, I'd have like 20 minutes, and you know it takes me that much just to warm up. So it's not going to happen. I really am loving this. You know, I made a confession in the beginning of this. I said I felt a little bit uncomfortable with bringing this teaching about who the Holy Spirit is, because I don't like to bring a teaching that I have not, that I don't feel well versed in, and that it's well integrated in my life and has been for many years. Because I don't like to preach from like a textbook. I learn something in a textbook and then I just regurgitate and pass it on to you. You know what I mean? I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be. I think it should be something that comes out of your own life, out of your heart, because you've lived it. You read it, you understood it, you got revelation, and then you walked it out, and then that revelation started making shifts and grew and matured, and it's got some muscle on it, and then you can preach from that, you know? But I have a boss, and I do what he says to do, and I felt very strongly impressed of the Lord a few months ago to start talking about the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit, and I kind of, you know, was like, I don't know that I'm really ready to do this. I feel like I'm very much still learning about the Holy Spirit. But the Lord didn't change his mind. Imagine that. And just kind of kept pushing, talk about the Holy Spirit. So here I am. And now I'm loving it, because it's causing me to have to think about it a lot every single day now and meditate on it, and I'm like, oh yeah, and oh this, and oh, and this aspect, and that aspect, and this aspect, and that part, and this part, and I'm like, oh yeah, and you know, I'm realizing that God is like not leaving me alone to do this. He's very much with me and moving on me as I'm preparing the messages, and so I'm loving it. I'm just loving it. So today I'm going to talk even a little. I'm going to make it even a little bit more personal, I guess, is a way to put it. And that is the title, at least I have up here. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Who is the Holy Spirit to you? We're just continuing to get to know Him. This is how we grow intimate with anyone. We have to get to know them. You cannot be close with someone you know nothing of or know very little about. To really have a mature relationship with someone, that happens only through knowledge. Only as we get to know the person well. We know a lot about their background. We know a lot about their heart's desires. We know about their wishes, their plans. We know about who they are. Who are you? What makes up who you are? And so that's what we're doing. We're endeavoring to get to know the Holy Spirit. And now I really want you to think about who He is to you. And some of this is, you could also just say this is just who He is, but this is also who He is to you. All right, so there's four things in particular I'm going to cover. I'm going to go ahead and say all four of them right now, and then I'm going to back up and spend time on each one of them. So I'm just going to tell you the four, and this certainly isn't an exhaustive list. It would probably be something more down the lines of about 4,000 things that He is, but these are four that I felt impressed to bring that I think are very strong. They're awesome, just about the Holy Spirit. Father God, I want to pause right now just to pray for your anointing on this message. I pray, Father God, for your anointing to be increased right now upon me, that I would minister and speak as the oracles of God. I minister, Father God, with the ability which you provide. And And Father, I pray your anointing and your blessing on every person here and everyone listening to this message. Father, their hearts and minds would be made ready right now by your Spirit to receive this engrafted word of God, which is able to transform our souls, to bring us into alignment and agreement with you by the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank you for it. Amen. Number one, this is who God is to you. He is the God that you hear. When you hear the voice of the Lord and you say, you know, the Lord spoke to me. God said this to me. Yesterday I was doing something and the Lord spoke to me. Do you realize that's the Holy Spirit? That's the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? He is the God that you hear. You know, in all of the New Testament, there's only three places that I know of. I'm almost certain this is accurate. I don't think there's a fourth. There's only three places in all the New Testament where the Father God speaks. In all of the New Testament, there's only three. Every other time that God speaks, it's the Holy Spirit. Apart from Jesus, when he was on the earth, you know, of course, he's God. But after Jesus left, let's put it that way to be safe, the only voice of God that we're hearing throughout the New Testament is the Holy Spirit. He is the God that you're hearing when you hear God. That's the Holy Spirit. That's who he is to you. He's the voice of God. Do y'all know where those three places are now that I've said? You probably wonder, what are those three places? Very good. Jesus' baptism. Jesus' transfiguration. Woo, very good. Yeah, actually, I'm sitting here trying to remember the third one. No, that's what she just said. Yeah, you're right, but that's what she just said. So the first one was at the baptism, right? Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. The other beautiful thing about this event is you get to see the Trinity. You got Jesus gets baptized. Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, what? This is my Son. That was the Father. And that with whom I am well pleased, exactly. The other one is, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it's called in the Bible. And Peter, James, and John, I think, were the three that were there. And Elijah and Moses appeared, right? And then the Father spoke, you know, he said, Peter said, hey, let us build three tabernacles. And the Father said, this is my Son, hear him. We're not talking about Isaiah and Moses, Elijah and Moses here. I love that, how God says, hear him. Yes, exactly. So white, whiter than anything that we've ever seen. So where was the third one? Come on, somebody, help me out, because I can't remember. No. What did he say? John 12, 28. That's it. That's the one. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Bible scholars with Google. No, just teasing. Yes. Now my soul is troubled. This is Jesus talking. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. This is Jesus talking to the Father. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Praise God. Those are the three times that we heard from the Father. Everything else is the Holy Spirit. So he is the God that you and I hear. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Holy Spirit, blessed be your holy name. Number two, he is the one who brings you and me into the fullness of God. This is who he is to you. He is the one who brings you into the fullness of God. Oh, very good. I'm going to expound on that later, on all four of these. Number three, He is your ability to move and have your being with God. That's so much bigger than those words say, but I mean, if you can just kind of try to get everything those words are saying, I was trying to think of the best way to say it. He is your ability to move with God. He is your ability, the very ability to have your being with God, to have your communion, your fellowship, the oneness with God, the Holy Spirit. What's that? Mechanism of connection. He is the agent that causes the communion to happen between you and the Father. Apart from Him, you can have no communion with the Father or with the Son. He is our connection. He is your enablement to move with God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Really, what Jesus is saying is apart from the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing, because it's the Holy Spirit that connects us with Jesus. But you know, like many verses in the Bible, virtually all of them, they don't say it all in one verse. They give you a piece of the puzzle. So it is absolutely true. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Apart from the Holy Spirit, you can't be connected with Jesus. He is our ability to move and to have our being with God. Number four, He is the power of the highest. He is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He created everything. He's the power. And again, I'm going to give you scriptures for all of these. So let's go back to number one. He's the God that you hear. Now I'm going to show you, even from the Old Testament, as well as the New, that it's actually the Holy Spirit that we see talking from beginning to end, from the very beginning all the way through to the end. So let's look at a couple verses, and I'm only going to do a couple. We don't have a lot of time, and even if I had all the time I thought I was going to have, I still knew I wouldn't have a lot of time. So I only took a couple verses for each one of these, but I could literally give you, I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens. We could be here for a week going through verses proving that every time you're hearing God in the Old Testament, it's the Holy Spirit. So let's look at one. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, they say this. And He said, go, tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. I'm thinking maybe I should have backed up so we know who's talking. Well, verse 1, let me just read this. Verse 1 in chapter 6 says this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings, with two covered his face. So he's up in heaven. He has this vision. He sees the Lord. And the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. And then it says, and the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man with unclean lips. And he goes on. And then I'm trying to see how I can just cut this shorter. And then verse 8, it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, that's probably where I should have just started, is verse 8. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he, that's the voice of the Lord, said, go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return to be healed. Now, the New Testament reveals the old. It gives insight into the old. And this very verse of scriptures is interpreted or brought up in the New Testament in Acts chapter 28. So I want to pick up in Acts 28 and see what it has to say about this. Acts 28 and starting at verse 25. This is Paul. He's in Rome and he's ministering to people in Rome. And I'm just breaking into a conversation here. Verse 25, he says, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet, our father, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. He's rebuking them because he's preaching the word. They're not getting it. And he said, the Holy Spirit rightly said through the prophet Isaiah. And he quotes the very same verse. So in the Old Testament, you see it says the Lord said, God said. In the New Testament, we see who was actually speaking. Also in Isaiah, it said earlier, the voice of the Lord, right? Here it says, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet. Amen? Go back to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah 31 and starting in verse 33, it says this. I'm moving kind of quick, so we don't have a lot of time, as you know. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says who? The Lord. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law on their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them and from the greatest of them, says the Lord. And it goes on. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 10. And those of you who are regulars here should know these verses well. We camped out here for a couple months. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to start at verse 15. It says, and the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Again, verse 15. And the Holy Spirit witnesses, saying these words. You see that? Jeremiah says it was the Lord who spoke. In the New Testament, we get more clarification. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through that prophet. He is the voice that we hear. Let me give you some New Testament examples. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8. And this would just be numerous. I could fill a page with scriptures from the New Testament. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit said. That's who's talking to us. Holy Spirit speaking to his children, instructing us, teaching us exactly what Jesus said he would do. I will send the helper. He will lead you and guide you. He will lead you and guide you. Jesus said, it is better for you that I go. Right? Well, how could it possibly be better for me, Lord, that you would leave me? Because I will send a helper, and he will lead you, and he will guide you, right? Jesus was saying, up until now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what the Lord was saying. Up until now, you've been following me. Don't follow me anymore. Follow him. He will lead and guide you. I'm leaving, and he will guide you. Listen to him and do what he says. He will guide you. So now we're going to see some examples of that. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29 says this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The Holy Spirit is directing him. It says the Spirit said to Philip. He's hearing the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, I made this easy by just turning one page. Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. I kind of don't like giving you the background, but it's really not the point. The point is just, I want you to see who's speaking. So verse 19, it says, "While Peter thought about the vision," so he just had a vision, obviously. "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" So here we see the Spirit speaking to Peter, giving him instructions, and we see that the three men that came to the door, the Spirit says, "I sent them." He's the one directing them. He's the one that brought them in. He's the one speaking to Peter, saying, "Go down." And then also, we see in Revelations, to get to the very end of the book, because there's a lot more examples in between, but it's one you see from beginning to end. Even in the book of Revelations, chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "He who has an ear, let him hear what," who? "The Spirit says to the churches." Look at verse 11. "He who has an ear, let him hear what," who? "The Spirit says to the churches." And verse 17, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, these are even different churches here. Throughout that he's speaking to every single one of the churches. It's the Spirit of God who is speaking to the churches. So who is the Holy Spirit to you and to me? He is the God that we're hearing. He's the one that's speaking. But I thought it was the Lord that was speaking to me. It is. But I thought you just said it's the Holy Spirit. I did. Well, is it God or is it the Holy Spirit? Yes. Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the second one. The second one that I said about who he is to you, he is with you to bring you into the fullness of God. Oh, I love this about the Holy Spirit. We are dead in the water without the Holy Spirit in our walk with God. The walk doesn't exist apart from him. You can only know somewhat about God. You cannot know God. In the truest meaning of the word, know God. You cannot know God apart from the Holy Spirit. Let's look at a couple verses that tell us that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, one of many, but this one it's really good. It spells out plainly a lot concerning like what you can know and not know apart from the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just giving you a minute to get there, and starting at verse 12, even though I would really like to start earlier than that, starting in verse 12, it says, "Now we have received," let me back up one.
You can back up three.
All right. Let's go to verse 11. Sorry, Louis, if I'm throwing you a curveball. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Now, right there, that could make you a little sad if you didn't know something. But what it's saying is, What man knows the things of himself, of a man, except the spirit of man within him? Do you understand what that's saying? It's saying you can't even know yourself well just with your soul, which is your mind, will, and your emotions. How many of you know that? How many of you struggle going, what is my problem? Why am I thinking like this? Why do I feel this way? Why am I sad? I don't even know why I'm sad right now. Why am I this happy? I'm not even sure exactly why I'm this happy. We don't even know ourselves. We don't really know what's making us tick most of the time. But how many of you experienced that you get quiet and you can even ask the Lord, Lord, help me, show me what's going on. You just get quiet and you listen and you start really thinking. And then, oh, that's it, isn't it? You tap in. You get. That's what's going on. That's what's triggering me right now. You're tapping in. It's literally your spirit who has all the answers all the time. Completely cognizant of everything about you. He is all-knowing. Your spirit knows everything, and it's just getting good at tapping in. We can get better and better at tapping into that. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man within him? Now, that's just your spirit. You can ask God to show you, but he will reveal to you what, he'll speak to you about what's going on in your spirit that's causing these things. He'll help you see into your spirit. That's the way I want to say it. The Spirit of God will help you see into your spirit and understand and know. Now, what he says in the second half of this verse, and likewise, just like that, who can know the things of God except the Spirit of God? Just like we have a spirit within us, God, it's not really accurate to say has a spirit within him, because that's all he is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like we have. God is spirit. And no one knows everything there is to know about God except the Spirit of God. Exactly like it is with us, our spirit knows everything about us. The Spirit of God knows everything about God, right? Now, that it'll help. Hopefully it'll make more sense going into the next verse. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. He's saying we received that Spirit that's from God. It's now inside of us. He is now inside of us. Now, unlike us, I can't put my spirit inside of anybody else. If I could, do you know they would now have the ability to know everything about me? I mean everything. Now, they'd have to learn to tap into it just like I have to tap into my own spirit. You know what I'm saying? You have to tap into your own spirit to get to know you. If I put my spirit in you, you also would now have the opportunity to tap into that spirit and know everything about me. Well, I'm not capable of doing that, neither are you. But God is. And God has chosen to put his spirit inside of us. We now have the ability to tap in and know everything there is to know about God. This is why it says we have the mind of what? Christ. Be still. That's exactly right. Ooh, good. And know that I am God. You get to know him, Isaiah 46:10, by being still. Remember I was talking about how we get to know ourselves. We got to get quiet, right? You got to quiet down your emotions. Say, emotions, just hush for a minute. I'm not really talking to you. I'm going past you, going through the gates of my emotions. I'm going into my spirit. I want to know what's going on. We got to be still. And in the same way, be still and get to know God. That's why God says, be still and know me. Get to know me. Know that I am God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him who is from God. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, I could just say, so you would know God. And that's true. But here he drills down on one particular point, he says, the things that have been freely given to you by God. The inheritance of the saints is what he's talking about. We've inherited outrageous, mind-bending blessings from God. And he says, you need the Holy Spirit to know these things because they are beyond your ability to know with your own natural resources. They're beyond that. The Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might know, so that we might. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? He is with you to bring you into the fullness of God. This is how he does it, by bringing you into the knowledge of the things that have been freely given to you by God. It says right here, it's the Spirit of God who's been given to us for this purpose, that you might know the things that have been freely given to you by God. Amen. That is definitely worth an applause. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches. Man's word doesn't teach these things. Man's wisdom doesn't teach. Who teaches these things? But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then I have in my next points, so I don't know if I want to read this next verse on this. Yeah, I'm going to leave it there. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches us. Let me go ahead and move on to my next point. So, I want to share one more with you. It's just so powerful. I can't pass it up. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at this powerful verse of scriptures. And Louis, I may have a different starting point. Hold on just a second here. Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start at, don't bother putting all these up. Maybe when I'm ready, when I get there, go ahead and put up verses, whatever I gave you. What did I give you? 19? All right, when I get to 19, put 19 up. I'm just going to read to you verses 14 through 18 for the sake of time. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, says this: For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that something will happen to you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Listen, he's saying, listen, I'm praying that you would understand the width, the length, the depth, and the height. He's saying this thing is so massive. The width, the length, the depth, and the height of what? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Wait a minute. I pray that you would know something that's beyond your ability to know. That you would know the love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What's he talking about? How could I know something that's beyond my knowing, my ability to know? That you would know the love of Christ. He's saying the love of Christ is so wide, so long, so deep, and so high, you cannot get it with your mind. That's how awesome his love is for us. So now let's back up a little bit. Verse 16. Gives insight to how this is going to happen. Did you like that rewind? Verse 16, thank you very much. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. This is his prayer. That he would grant you according to the... I'm asking God to give you something, and this is going to be according to his riches, because this is so awesome when I'm asking him to give you. It's going to be based on how good he is, that he would give this to you. I pray according to his riches and glory that he would grant you, now listen, to be strengthened with might. How? Through his Spirit in the inner man. It's the Spirit of God that's going to do this. This is Paul's prayer. I pray, Father, because Paul understands how this operates, that through your Spirit you would do something. Now we go back down to verse 19. To know, this is the prayer that the Spirit would do for us, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Why? What will be the end result if you and I come to know the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love for us? What would happen? We will enter into the fullness of God. You know, like we had a leaders meeting last night that was just so beautiful and so rich. And Brian said something in that meeting that he had said a few times, and I could not agree with him more. I love it every time he says that. I'm so wholeheartedly in agreement. He's like, Brad, seriously, man, you could just preach on grace every Sunday from now on. It would be good enough for me. Just knowing the grace of God. And I just, I'm like, I'm right there with you, man. Believe me, that's really what I'd rather do. I've been studying it for so many years, and it's really all I want to study. I study other things so that I can teach other things. But if I had my druthers, I would just study the grace of God. I cannot get enough of it. I'm studying other subjects, and then when I'm like, okay, I've spent 2 hours on that. I want to go on. I want to go back to the grace of God. I just love studying about the grace of God. It's so rich. It's so wide. It's so long. It's so deep, and it's so high. It's inexhaustible. It's so good. I've got one already brewing. It's been brewing in me for a while. I'm looking forward to bringing this one. It's going to be, it's so good. Three letters make it up. O-N-E. One. That's all I'm giving you for now. One will never be the same to you after that message. The word one will never be the same. Every time you see one, you'll say, yes, one. It's good. I believe I know the date. I believe it's going to be the 17th of February. Isn't that going to be my first week back? No? Oh, I don't mean February. March. I meant March. Okay. I hope that didn't mean because you're going to be gone. Okay. Is that Valentine's Day? Patrick's Day. I knew it was one of those holidays. When's Valentine's? You can tell I'm single. I haven't had a girlfriend for forever. When is it? February 14th. That's right. Okay. One of these days I'll have to be concerned about that. Right now it's unfortunately not an issue. All right, y'all are making me lose my train of thought. Where was I?
One.
No, that's not one. The fullness of God. Grace, we know what grace does when you really understand the true gospel, like I like to call it, the true gospel. Not the one, unfortunately, I really don't like always talking about the body of Christ is doing this part wrong and all that, because it's my family. But, you know, I mean, I really believe that this number is probably pretty accurate, give or take 1 point. About 99% of the body of Christ still operates under grace and law. It's a mixture, which means it's not grace. It's not grace. And they live under the law because they don't understand the true gospel. That's why I say the true, I use that adjective, the true gospel, because I don't want to just say the gospel. Because then you just mix it in with all the other gospel that you hear. And I'm like, no, I mean the true gospel. You could also call it grace. Grace is so awesome. You know what grace does? It just says, I love you, 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 I love you. You have no idea how much I love you. That's what grace does. It just tells you, oh, God, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. It's another way of knowing the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God. And what's it do? What does that message of grace do? It brings you into the fullness of God. It sets you free. And it doesn't set you free like on your own. It sets you free as in getting closer to the one who brings you liberty. Yes. Do you think the woman caught in adultery after Jesus got done ministering grace to her, do you think she felt freer or more in bondage? Do you think she was more in love with Jesus or less? That's what it does. It makes you just want to cling to him. So when people say, you know, the grace message makes you want to go out and sin, I'm like, you don't know the grace message. I don't know what message you're listening to. It's not the one I'm preaching. It makes you want to cling to him because he's so good.
It makes you so thankful.
Yes, thankful. Exactly. So thankful. Do you think that woman caught in adultery was like, woohoo, let's go do this again? She's like, Jesus, can I just be with you? I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. I've never been loved like this ever. This is what I'm after. That's what I was after. You're the real thing. You don't use me. You love me. You didn't want anything from me. You just wanted to give to me. Can I just be with you? That's what I want. That's what the true gospel does. It makes you want to cling to him. You know, I think it's in Titus it says what the grace message does. It's so beautiful. I love it. It says, this message of grace, it says, it teaches us. The grace message, it says, teaches us to live holy and pure and righteous. That's what the grace message teaches. The grace message doesn't speak to you and say, go off and sin. No, it speaks to you and says, that's how good he is. Don't you want to be just like him? Yes. It teaches us to be holy and pure. Yes. Yep. And I would agree with that saying he convicts you, but I want to clarify the conviction, because you know how I deal with that whole issue of conviction. I know, exactly. Let me ask you this. No, it's good. I'm with you. When you're in love with someone, you're in love with your spouse, and you, I mean, you're completely in love with your spouse, and something, another person comes by in your life somehow, some way, you know, just passes by you at work or wherever, and, you know, they're an attractive human being. How many know that your spouse is not the only attractive one on the planet? Now, don't raise your hand. I'll do it for you. Not the only attractive one on the planet. Okay. So there are other attractive men out there, ladies. There are other attractive women out there. No, I should say it the other way. There are other attractive men out there, men. I'm talking to the husbands. There's other attractive men out there. Yeah, see, I did say it wrong. And women, there are attractive women out there. You know that, right? When you're totally in love and that other attractive person comes by, does your love that you have for your spouse make you want to run off with that other person or make you not want to run off with the other person? There's a conviction in your heart of love. Are you with me? Yeah, I feel conviction, a conviction of how much I love my wife that makes me say, no way, no way. No way, Jose. So that's what it does, and that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He reminds us of who we are in God. No, you don't want that. Remember who you are in God? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. That he is. I wrote that in my Bible just the other day. Just a couple days ago, there was something it was in Genesis where he said, you shall not surely die. I wrote right next to that, the devil is a liar. The devil surely lies. Yes, he does. All right, I got basketball here. Now, y'all be quiet. I need to preach. All right, I can see I'm not going to finish this today, but this is still good, isn't it? It's just rich. The fullness of God. Yes, so let's just read that again, Ephesians. I just want to, let's just hang out here. This is beautiful. Now to him who is, no, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Listen, how many of you want more of God? I mean, honestly, don't raise your hand if you're not serious. How many of you want more of God in your life? All right. This verse of scripture tells you how. If you knew the love of God that he has for you, I remember this one time, and I was so, one of the worst heartbreaks I ever had in my life. This girl just laid me to waste with one phone call. I was so miserable. I was just like, I mean, I hurt. Every part of my body hurt. I really loved her, and it just really hurt me what she did, right? Y'all have been there, probably. I physically hurt. And I went off for a weekend with my next-door neighbor just to get out of Columbus, just to get my mind away from things. They went down to Cincinnati. I was there with them for 2 days. I did not sleep for 2 days. I would lay in bed at night and stare at the ceiling because my mind was spinning so fast and so hard. It was like a hard drive that was just smoking. And I just wanted my mind to shut up so I could go to sleep, and I could not do it. Next morning, got up, went through the rest of the day with them, went to bed that night again down there in Cincinnati, laid the night awake the whole time. It's been now like 72 hours. I haven't slept a wink. Long story short, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. We stopped at a monastery on the way back. It's now like no one lives there, but it's like you can just walk through and like I don't know if you call it a museum, but a place you can just visit and see this is where the monks were and all that kind of stuff. And we went through it, and the Lord spoke. I knew the Lord and speak to me. I went out into the field. I said, "Speak to me, Lord." And I said, "Lord, why does it hurt so much?" And he gave me a word why it still hurts so much. And then later that day, an hour and a half, no, 15 minutes later, he did it again through some woman. And then an hour and a half later, I get home, and my brother calls me, and he gave me the exact same word. Three times the Lord said the identical word to me. I'll tell you what it was. "You're trying to get your affirmation from a woman that you can only get from me. That's why it hurts so much. I was trying to get my affirmation from a human being that I'm only supposed to be getting from God. When you get your affirmation from him alone, every human being on the planet could fall away from you, and you won't. You're a rock. It's like, sorry about your luck. I'm with him. He loves me." Then after he spoke to me the third time through my brother, I went down into my basement, which was my prayer area, got on my face before God, cried out to God. I mean, I'm still hurting. You would think that three times would have done it, but I'm like, "I just know you're speaking to me," and I got for him. And then the Lord, I said something to him about, "Lord, I just feel like you're not, you don't believe in me anymore." That's the word I said to him. I feel like you don't believe in me anymore, because I knew I shouldn't have been dating that girl the whole time. For a year, I knew I wasn't supposed to be dating her. You know, what you don't get by revelation, you will get by situation. It's much better to get it by revelation. Yes. Much better. Yes. So I'm down there, and I said, "Lord, I just feel like you don't believe in me anymore, because I've been not doing what I should be doing all this time." And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as I'm talking to you and said, "I made you. How could I not believe in you?" Think about an artist painting the most beautiful thing he paints and then saying he doesn't believe in it. Well, I guess some artists do that, but not God. When he paints it, it's like, perfect. He said, "I made you. How could I not believe in you?" It was quiet. He let that just soak into my spirit. And then he said, "For me not to believe in you would mean I don't believe in myself, because I made you." Instantaneously, I no longer cared about this broken relationship. I was so filled up with the fact that God believed in me, which said volumes that he loves me. I started just thinking about his love. I was so overcome by it. And then somehow in the midst of that, I thought about this girl again, and I literally, not in a cynical way or anything, I literally started laughing because I realized the ridiculousness of my being hurt over that when he is in love with me. I was totally set free. The love of God instantaneously set me free from this world stuff. What's that song? Uh, Yeah, I can't get it. You know, in the light of your glory and grace, something like, that's it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. It's exactly that. And on that note, we'll end because we've got some very important things to do today. Amen. We'll pick up next week. If anyone would like prayer for anything, Peter will be glad to pray for you. No, I've got a few more minutes to hang out here and minister if anyone needs ministry. So if you would like prayer for anything, please come up and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you and we'll see you next week. Father, I pray your blessing over everyone in this room right now. I pray your hand upon them. I pray that this word that went forth would be sealed right now in their hearts in the name of Jesus, not to be lost or stolen by the enemy. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.